With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, today on Abounding Grace, we're continuing in our study of repentance, especially as it's outlined here in Luke chapter 13. Yesterday, we picked up in that study. What a wonderful section of Scripture, because it applies to all people alike in this world. Everyone is in need of repenting of their sins and fleeing to Jesus Christ. And I guess the tendency, at least even for those who are Christians, is to think that once we've come into Christianity, there's no more need to sort of sit down and confess and repent of sins. There's even that taught out there today. But that is absolutely contrary to what Jesus outlines here in Luke chapter 13. Repentance is a way of life for the Christian. And it really, the stress of this passage is to say you can't afford to put off repentance. If there is lingering sin and things between you and the Lord that are not dealt with, the worst thing you could say is, give me more time. No, the call is immediately repent and change your ways. And that's exactly what Jesus emphasizes here in Luke chapter 13. Yesterday we picked up on this. And one of the things that we notice is this emphasis on time, this emphasis on the shortness or the brevity of time and the urgency to repent, urgency to believe in Jesus, urgency to repent, because we don't have the promise that we'll be here tomorrow. In fact, Jesus started off this entire section and back in chapter 12 by speaking this parable again about time. Then the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you've provided?' So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Now, that's the whole point there. Notice the emphasis on time. This guy said, "I'm going to delay doing what's right. I'm going to live up this life, eat, drink, and be merry, and I have all the time in the world." And what did Jesus say? "You fool, you don't have control of your life. This night, you may die. This night, your soul will be required of you. Then, whose will all your riches and all your efforts and all these things be? Not yours. Naked you come into this world, and naked you go out." So the whole focus here was the urgency to get right, to believe in Jesus, to flee to Christ and receive his righteousness by faith alone. Now, Jesus went on in chapter 12, and he went on to, again to speak about time. "Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather, and there it is. Hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time?" I mean, Jesus is here again pressing. We have all the time in the world, we think, to sit around and talk about the weather, and we can figure out what it will be. And Jesus says, that is the height of hypocrisy. How can you not discern your greatest need as a sinner? Now, Jesus goes on and again gives this another teaching here on making right with your adversaries. And he speaks about, even yourselves, do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you've paid the last very mite." What is that a picture of, friends? Well, it's a picture, really, and what he's telling us is you better be right with the Lord and have everything squared, and you better repent, because if you are thrown into hell, there's no coming back. So this is a very sobering section of scripture, and that's what led us in to Jesus's discussion and this event that happens in Luke chapter 13. The multitudes had heard Jesus's teaching about this. They then bring before him a test case. There were present, this is Luke 13, 1. At that season, some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus gives this test case is laid before Jesus where this tower, the second one here is a tower fell, or those 18, says Jesus, on whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Twice he says that. Two test cases. One, Pilate is mingling the blood of those who are coming to worship the Lord, mingling their blood with the animal sacrifices. Just a terrible abomination. And then this Tower of Siloam was sitting there and it happened to fall, right? At least that's how we would see it. It happened to fall and it killed people. And what does Jesus say? Well, our tendency and what they asked Jesus was basically, look at these bad sinners. How do we explain these things happening? These people were killed in worship coming to the Lord. Surely God's judgment must have been on them. And this tower, they're just standing there and it fell on them. Surely God's judgment must have been on them. That's how we read it, right? What is Jesus saying? You think you're better than them? You think that the tower fell on them because they're more evil than you? You think that Pilate's killed those worshipers because you're better people than them and they just deserved more judgment? What was Jesus saying here? Well, Jesus is saying, no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What a response. What a sobering response. What do we make of it? Well, my friends, Jesus knows the propensities of our hearts. He knows that we tend toward self-righteousness, and he's saying here, you have no right to look upon the disasters of others or even why they happened as if they deserve it more than you. But you better consider your own dangers and what's coming upon you if you do not repent. And Jesus is no prosperity gospel. He is not slacking on the message. He's mincing no words. He's not worried about offending people because it's a matter of life and death. And Jesus is making it very clear, my friends, everyone out here in this world, including me, is deserving of the utmost fire of God's wrath eternally. Now, this is a very sobering message. Right now, you know, we see all the news reporters reporting all these disasters that happened every day. Fires killing, I just turned on the news today, and a fire killing children in a building, and my heart longs for them. And we always ask this question, where was God in this? As if God let the entire thing happen by chance. We're confused by the problem of evil, and we're often left with the question, why does a good God let these things happen? I've heard people ask that. Well, in light of our text, my friends, we have to say that to assume that someone is more deserving of God's wrath is to completely misunderstand the gospel. Christ puts everyone on an equal playing field when it comes to sin. And the point is that we all deserve God's intense wrath from the moment of conception. Now, I know that's a tough thing to accept, but David said, "Surely I was born in sin. In sin my mother conceived me." And if a child can even die, that means that the wages of sin is death. All of us, from conception forward, God is terribly angry with the sin that we are born with, as well as the sin that we personally commit. That's what the Bible teaches. I didn't make this up. The Bible teaches this. There is none who does good, no, not one. All have turned aside. Psalm 58, "Break their teeth in their mouth, O God. The wicked go estranged from the womb, speaking lies as soon as they are born." Very strong language. And the point is, we all deserve God's intense wrath from the moment of conception. From that very moment, the floodwaters of God's anger and fire could have passed right over us and consumed us in his fury for our sin forever, and he would have been just. And the point is, any extension of time is what is not deserved. When we are in Adam and Adam ate of that fruit and plunged us all into sin, any extension of time beyond that was an act of mercy. And so in light of this, we must come to the conclusion that any calamity that befalls mankind in this world that we don't understand is a sheer and utter act of God's kindness to the living. You say, how so? How could anything like that be described as God's mercy? Well, as we tread over the lines of what's going on here, and we look at exactly what Jesus is teaching, the issue is not with the dead, but the issue is with the living, because it's been appointed for man to die once and then the judgment. Our pre-appointed times and boundaries of our dwellings are all determined by God, Acts 17. And in a similar vein, we have funerals, and they really never should be a time where we eulogize the dead. They're gone. But that time should be given to address those still living, because soon enough, it will be our own funerals, whether it be cancer taking us, whether we die in a car accident, or whether a tower falls on us. And then, what if we never took Jesus's message seriously? You see, what Jesus is teaching and what he's dealing with here were people who were standing before him who had never repented themselves, who had never looked to him in true faith. And the incredible mercy of God is shown in the fact they're still standing. And that is how disasters, in a sense, they are used to show the living that they must repent. Multitudes were before our Lord, and what a message that demonstrates his compassion on his people. They are receiving the commandment to repent, and this is Jesus's entire point. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. In light of this tower that fell and killed people, in light of Pilate killing people, they're not worse sinners than you are. You need to repent. And the mere fact that you're still living, you better do it while you're still living. That's what Jesus is saying here. And so the question is before us today, have you repented? Have you turned to Jesus Christ in true faith? That is the only way you can know happiness, so that when your day does come, maybe this night he will call you, you have the sure promise and hope that in Christ, in him, you will be received into the Father's arms in glory. Thank you for joining us here today at Abounding Grace. If you have any questions about the broadcast or about anything, give us a call, 360-318-0429. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com, and you are also given an invitation to join us this Sunday for worship, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.